Bible this morning, I'd like to call your attention to the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. And the seventh verse reads as follows. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows them that are trusting in him. We'd like to speak for a few moments around the theme that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. It's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows them. That trust in him. The Lord is good. In a time of trouble, you ought to know who to call. When the trouble comes, you ought to have your emergency numbers right at hand. You've had some tragic situations in which people have called emergency numbers and they didn't get the help that they were calling for because of unfortunate discussions with the operators who answered the phone. One case, I think, was a fellow's mother died or something like that. But just in case you don't get to the emergency wagon, you better know who to call on in a time of trouble. I don't think we have any difficulty when the sun is shining, but when the road is rough and the going gets tough, you have to know who to call on. The world, I think, knows a little better than we do as members of the church. We're living in perilous times. That is it. Dangerous time. People are indifferent. They're hard-hearted. Folks are on things. Talking to people and no one there to talk to. Yet, when they're in trouble, the world has an idea who to call on. But the way things are going this morning, you ought to know who to call on before you leave here. Because there must be, if there is, and there is, but if there is a God somewhere. There's got to be a showdown. If God is who He says He is, and if God has all the power that we say He has, then sooner or later, there's got to be a showdown. If God is what we say, and where we treat Him, we won't let Him in our schools, won't let Him in our home, just about put Him out the church. There's only a few folks listening to me this morning, but He's almost out of the church. And I know if you were the Lord and they treated you like we treat Him, there would have been a showdown a long time ago. Most of us wouldn't stand for them to take a carrot off of our plate without saying something. But we just take off of God's plate, eat up His food, breathe up His air, claim stuff that is His as if it were ours, and then ignore Him. You worship the creature more than the Creator. And that's how the world is. But when you come to the church, the effects of our worship is seen in the way that we treat one another. Well, it becomes obvious that we who say we worship the Lord are saying that with our mouth, but in practice, we're involved in something else. Because if our worship for the Lord is right, it does not show up in your singing. It doesn't even always show up in your preaching. It does not show up in your job as an officer. It shows up in the way you treat one another. Lord, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, that you are loved one for another. Now you become like what you worship. If you say you love the Lord, you don't have to, don't waste your time trying to fool me. That's all you're doing. What you're really interested in comes out in your lifestyle. I say that because in the church you find all kinds. Right, wrong, hot, cold, indifferent, the ins, the outs, the mean folks. And they all talk like they're going to heaven. Well, if heaven is like you, then I want to change my passport. But we have enough of that down here. Isn't that right? Some of us don't believe in change and don't intend to change. And we expect God to adopt to our program. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. But we're not interested in being born again. But we want the Lord to fit into our lifestyle. Amen, amen. And so, you have a group that you never seen a Bible study. Never seen a prayer meeting. Don't even carry a Bible in their hand. But they have more to say about church policy, church program. They can discuss church for hours. Amen. But they have a way of swaying folks so that those who do not take time to see what God is all about, they'll listen to the loud mouth know nothing, and they'll begin to think that church is like the folks that you see. And I'm saying that if you go along with what you see folks put down as church or as God, you are in trouble. And a majority of us are in trouble because we'll never get caught in a prayer meeting when you can really find out what God is like. See, if you look at the face of the average religious person, you get the idea that God is mean, starch, ugly, and beating folks down. Those who have been to the water, those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, they come back with a praise, and they come back with a rejoicing. Right away, they are dubbed as fanatics, crazy, emotional, and out of their mind. You almost have to apologize for loving the Lord. They put you off in a corner and make you think that you're crazy. Oh, yes, they will. Because if I'm not saved, if I don't know the Lord, then for me, he's a terrible God. I don't even enjoy worship service because I'm afraid that something's going to be said to reveal what's going on in my life. Amen. That's why these churches have big choirs and short sermons. So you can get in and get out and not be convicted. Well, everybody think that you are all right, but you're a hypocrite. You're an extortioner. You're a liar. You're a whoremonger. Whisperer, backbiter, railer. And you sit up here like you're going to heaven. Amen. But Paul said, be not deceived. He said, such were some of you. He said, well, now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now you're justified. Hallelujah. You shouldn't be in that stuff now. How can God smile on us doing what he died to get us out of? Amen. Now, I'll meet you in the rapture. But you have to understand that God judges his folks. Well, not only does he judge the world, but he's going to judge and is judging his own people. Amen. Now, I don't know, and I don't waste my time. I'll tell you right now, I don't waste my time trying to find out who's right and who's wrong. The only person in this sanctuary that I know is saved is me. The only person in this sanctuary that I know is called to the ministry is me. Now, everybody else got to go for themselves. C- c- Because some of the worst people in the world live moral lives.
Yes.
Hell is going to be full of good men.
Yes.
Being good ain't good enough.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But the Lord knows
yes.
who's right
yes.
and who's wrong.
Yes.
He knows where Satan's seat is.
Yes.
He knows who's saved
yes.
and who's unsaved.
Yes.
He knows the condition of his people.
Yes.
He knows the pain
yes.
and the strength.
Yes.
He knows how you've been mistreated.
Yes.
He knows that you've been coming up
yes.
the rough side
yes.
of the mountain.
Yes.
But in spite of the world, in spite of church folks, in spite of our individual conditions and problems and difficulties, the Lord is good. Oh yes, He is. And He's a strong hope in the day of trouble. And by His Spirit, He knows who's in here this morning that's trusting Him. Amen. See, God is long-suffering. He sent Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah preached revival in Nineveh.
Yeah.
And the folks believed Jonah. Mm-hmm. Repented from their sin.
Yeah.
And God spared the city.
Yeah.
You don't hear me this morning.
Yeah.
God was going to tear them up.
Yeah.
But He finally got Jonah right enough to go down there and preach to the folks.
Yeah.
And they repented.
Yeah.
And God is so good that He let the judgment go over.
Amen.
In other words, He caught you doing what you were doing.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of slapping you down,
yeah.
He just dusted you off,
yeah.
picked you up,
yeah.
and blessed you.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he's good.
Yeah.
He's a God of love.
Yeah.
You expected a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
You expected to get sick. You expected all your money to roll out the bank. And stuff. But God instead, He picked you up and He's kept you. He brought us in spite of ourselves. Amen. Now, that's the truth now. Now, because God had blessed the city, He expected them to praise Him. If you read the book, it says God is jealous. So He said, I'm going to give them time to settle down. I brought them back. I wasn't mean. I wasn't ugly. I brought them out. Now I'm going to come back and see how they do. And when God came back to Nineveh, He found them Assyrians worshiping other gods. Now watch it now. See, He's the one who brought them out. But they gave the praise that should have gone to Him was going to idol God. And the Assyrians were known as a mean, wicked, and vicious people. See, and the reason that they were mean is because they had become like the God they worship. All right. Now listen. See, God expected them to give Him the praise and honor. Instead, they turned from the true and living God to worship idols. And they became like the idols they worship. So Nahum, the prophet, was called upon to pronounce their doom. See, you don't have to praise God. You can sit up here, go to sleep if you want. But God is jealous. He did something for you. He is jealous for what belongs to him. Not your money. No. Not your clothes. Not your car. He's jealous for a simple thank you. See, and it provokes him when he sees the praise that should go to him going to somebody else or something else. Amen. Now, if you go to worship something else, stay out there and worship that thing. But see, you won't do that. You serve other gods all week. They come in on Sunday and sit back. Amen. Now you are not here to praise God for what he did for Brother Ruffin. You're here, we are here, or you should be here, to praise the Lord for what he has done for you. Just think about it. See, just take your mind off the other folks around you that you don't think so much of anyhow. But just think of God's goodness to you. Now, when you start thinking about God's goodness to you, you'll be surprised at how good your brothers and sisters look. When you start thinking about how God brought you out, suddenly your mind will clear up. And folks that you've been holding stuff against, you realize that don't mean nothing, because nothing that brother said, nothing that brother did, nothing that sister said kept God from blessing me one bit. Praise his name. We don't have to praise him, but if you close Builder Baptist Church down this afternoon and say we'll never come here to worship again, Brother Ruffin will be somewhere praising his name. Amen. Don't you let anybody come between you and what the Lord has done for you. Amen. No man, no organization, nobody, not even your husband, not even your wife, not even your children. He says in the second verse that God is jealous. You gotta keep that in mind. He will not stand for those who call his name, putting any other God on the same shelf with him. If you do it from the pulpit to the door, you got a problem. And it's not with the devil either. It's with the Lord. Amen. So the Lord is slow to anger. In the third verse, great power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Someone must have been doing something right. The storm went across Philadelphia. Landed other places. You got to understand something. That when the Lord starts to move, he can use anything that he's created to work his purposes out. Amen. Verse 6, he says, who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. That's the God we serve. Now that's terrible. That's terrible. But then in the next verse, he says, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. See, because as Nahum preaches, he knows that every world is not messed up. You got the hot, the colds, the lukewarms, the rights, the wrongs, the saved, the unsaved, you know, the sinner, the saint, all sitting together. Now you have to decide which part of the message you're in. You waiting for the rocks to fall on you? Or can you say that the Lord is good? See, we read the verse, some folks smile, some ready to testify that the Lord is good. Others sort of shrinking back in the seat because they don't know what you're talking about. But everyone is not in the same boat. Because the Lord knows how to deliver those that are trusting in him. He don't need no for no rock to fall on his saints. But if one does, don't you worry about it. Because to be absent from this world is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So it's all good anyhow. But you have to know which side you are. Where does your soul rest this morning? Now, whichever side you're on, God is jealous. See, God is jealous. That's the Creator. Then you got his own people on one side who just naturally should be praising him. Then you got the unsaved, the Gentile, the sinner who doesn't know him. And God has said, I expect him to praise me too. Oh yes, oh yes. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everything that God makes speaks of his glory. His signature is found at the bottom of everything he put up there. We the only ones he created that are, you know, day in and day out, we decide what we're going to do. But everything else is praising God. And so God is jealous. And he will destroy anything and anyone who comes between him and the praise and the worship that belongs to him. Now it's very important for you to know that he's going to judge the Assyrians, which is a Gentile nation. See, and the point in the book of Nahum is this. Whether it's China, Russia, the United States, Great Britain, you name the nation. If it does not praise the Creator, it's got to come down. We put all our coins in God we trust. We have reached a point where we're not sure which God we trust. So it's important, amen, that those of us who know the Lord be at the job of witnessing. So you understand me this morning. Because if the person you meet on the street is worshiping narcotics and believe that you have the means in your pocketbook to get the money, that you have the money that will help you worship his God, he will kill you if you stand between him and the God of narcotics. The folks who put a gun to you for touching their car wrong. When you say you believe in God, you're not saying anything. is which God you believe in. And the God of the Bible indicates through the pattern, through the pages of history, that any nation that forgets God, any nation that turns their back on Him, must come back. Book of Ezekiel says He's going to overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn until the one who has the right sits on the throne. He's going to do that with nations, and He does it with individuals. You put somebody in your head or under God, he's got to go. Book of Ezekiel says He's going to overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn and overturn until the one who has the right sits on the throne. He's going to do that with nations, and He does it with individuals. You put somebody in your head or under God, he's got to go. She's got to go. It's got to go. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Whatever you put up there has got to go until you are saying and singing from the depths of your soul, I'm satisfied with Jesus alone.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
When they came after Brother Job, Job said, look, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. So you can take it all. I didn't have anything until He gave it to me. Came in here naked, going out naked. I'm sorry, but the God of the Bible is not a part-time God. He is not a one-service-a-week God. Let me hasten on. Exodus, he said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or the likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You go after the stuff, if God don't beat up on you, He'll get your children three and four generations down for worshiping the wrong God.
Yeah.
By the time I tell you what jealousy is. See. But generally it's a suspicion between married folks concerning their loyalty to one another. There's a questioning. Do you really love me? If you do, how can you do what you're doing? Every time I look around, you with some other girl. Or you with some other man. But you say I'm your main one. You got my engagement ring on, but I can't even get a date with you. And God is saying, you say you love me. You sing my name, you praise my name, but I can't even get to you. You're too busy all the time. Every time you get in trouble, instead of calling me, you're on the phone calling your friend. Everybody in the neighborhood knows your business. But you don't share with me. Jealousy is also a concern. Jealousy is a desire and concern for the welfare of others. When you know a person could be doing better, you become jealous for their doing better than they are. Your child only eating a slice of bread and a glass of water, calling that breakfast, and you got eggs, bacon, ham, and grits, and Davy's pastry all unloaded up, and that's all he's fuel when you become jealous of his welfare. And you stop the child and say, look, I want you to eat a better breakfast because you're going to need it after. See, and God is jealous that way. See, he knows that if you put your trust in a person, that when you go to that person for what you really need, a person's going to let you down. See, Jane is saying, I can't make it without job. And God said, no, I can't let you have job because you put too much faith in him. And I know all about job. We'll let you down. But you come to the church with your face all now and say, God, he ain't so good because he didn't let me have what I want. He didn't let you have what you want because he knows who you need. And it's that jealous concern that we do not go down the right, the wrong path. That is our constant battle between the spirit and the flesh. God is striving with us to take us to higher heights and deeper depths. He did not pick you up to put you down. He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So all the way through, he tried and strove to keep his people from worshiping idols. And when they did worship idols, they provoked God to jealousy. And he was forced to move on to get his people to turn back to him. And in order to get them to turn, he sent a group of men called the prophets. Amen. See, the people were worshiping God. Big religion, big religion. They had the temple out there. All the songs were put to music. They had orchestras in the sanctuary. Some of us get excited if we hear a drum or bass or a trumpet, but in the Old Testament, there were orchestras praising God. And it was beautiful ritual, symbols of what God had done. But in their religiosity, amen. See, in their religiosity, they made a mistake. They thought that what God wanted was a sacrifice. So they were saying, in essence, God does not care how I live as long as I come in on Sunday and give him something. Everything is all right. I can go out and live like I want. And God was saying that he wants obedience and not sacrifice. See, he don't care if you never sing in the choir if you live right. He don't care if you never put a dime in an offering. We read what you saw last week. He said if he was hungry, he wouldn't call you. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. But the wonder and the miracle and the strangeness from Genesis to Revelation is not your prosperity plan. It is not how much money you have in the bank. It is not the color of your skin. But the beautiful thing, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, is that somebody knows how good God is. And as a result of knowing how good God is, they already have. You ask him for one, they give two. You ask him to walk 1 mile, they walk 2 miles. You want to fill the jacket, they give you the jacket and the robe and the wardrobe. They don't fight over the stuff, but they go right back to the prayer meeting. Say, Lord, you see how they treat me. They done took my coat, took my robe, took my name, took everything. You're the only one I have left. And Father, I stretch my hands to thee. Nor the help I know if thou withdraw thyself from me. Where shall I go? And God just opens up the door, replaces, replenishes, till your cup runs off. Amen. And your enemy sits back there, and he wonders how you made it. He can't see your foundation. He can't see how you're making it, but you're making it anyhow. He know what? And the harder it hits you, shall give an account thereof.
Yes, amen. I get a good night's sleep. You get a good night's sleep. But your enemy is plotting on you. But Jesus said, every idle word, you didn't hear it because you were asleep. And when you wake up in the morning, you wake up and thank you, Jesus.
The truth and the life. Before Abraham was,
judges sin, loves the sinner, saves the sinner, the ever-present, self-existing one, the one who's God all by himself, don't need nobody else. He's good. Oh, you didn't hear me. Which means that goodness is walking out because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present at the same time. If your spiritual eye will open up, you will see that a good God is walking around the beautiful family. How do I know? I can get a witness right now. Somebody in here was on that sick bed. Somebody here heard the doctor say one thing, but heard another voice say something else. Can I get a witness? Somebody here was bound to the last done, and he stepped in on time. Can I get a witness? Somebody here didn't have any friends. Nobody wanted to call you friend, but you found a friend in Jesus. And I see it. And grieved to bear. And you found a privilege to carry not some things, but everything. To God in prayer. Is the Lord good? Is the Lord good? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Say up! Say up! The Lord is good! He's a strong hand in the day of trouble. Not just when the sun is shining, but when trouble comes. His goodness and his mercy fight your battle and bring you through. He's a refuge. He's a fortress. He's a sanctuary. In the time of trouble, the God we serve is not just a God of the sunshine, but he's specialized. One poet said that man's extremity is God's opportunity. When my back is to the wall, when I don't know which way to turn, when I don't know up from down, in from out, I can stand right there, wait on him. Have you waited on him? He renewed his strength. If you wait on him, your change will come. Can I get a witness? A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. 37th Psalm says, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fit. 5th verse, 37th Psalm, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Isaiah 26:3, or thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. When you put your trust in the Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding will come down and keep your heart and your mind. If you trust in him, you'll find he's a strong hope. In the day of trouble, if I trust in him, I'll come into church with a testimony. 84th Psalm says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. to. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. But I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Say it. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock and established my God. He's put a new soul in my mouth. He picked me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid ground. I'm going to sit down now. But the Lord is good. He knows he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows who's trusting in him. He knows who's in. He knows who's out. He knows who's lying. He knows who's telling the truth. He knows all about us. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? He knows where we were last night. He was sitting right at the table when they passed the drinks around. He was sitting right there with a blue smoke in his face. But he sat there anyhow. But I want you to know this morning, he knows. He knows the phonies. He knows the pretenders. He knows the tricksters. He knows the deceitful. He knows the liar. He knows all about us. And I'm so glad that he knows. He knows my uprising and my down sin. But I've come to repent this morning. I love the Lord. He heard my voice and my supplication. He answered my prayer. He inclined his ear unto me. And because he heard my cry, as long as I live, I'll call on his name. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his goodness, his love unto me? I'ma take up the cup of salvation. I'm gonna praise his name. I'm gonna accept his prayer of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. I'm so glad I got the gift. I'm so glad I got the gift. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I'm going to be, but I'm on my way to the New Jerusalem, where the sun never goes down. Every day, making preparation. I'm packing up every day, getting ready to go. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? So every time you come to this house of worship, I tell you before you get here, I don't want to embarrass you. So I'm telling you now, if I'm here, you want to hear me clap my hands. You want to hear me shout his praise. You'll see me do a holy dance. I might fall out. I might jump the benches. I might rub the eyes. I might run over the with the Word of God this morning, then you need Jesus as your Savior. I wonder if the young adults would sing, "He's a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in the time of storm." Wonder if there's somebody here that don't mind owning him this morning.